the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. This is your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site, and with me is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com, the SB Nation Arizona Cardinals site, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. This is episode 399, recording a day later, and we normally do, but that's because, you know, Tuesday was Valentine's Day, and, you know, we have wives and families, and, you know, probably the choice of getting in the office, put on those headsets, and turn on the microphone to talk football on a night when we're supposed to be romancing our significant other, that probably would go as a bad choice. And so we are here to talk episode 399 about the Cardinals' new head coach. They finally made a decision more than a month later. It is Jonathan Gannon, the last name to come up. The defensive coordinator from the Philadelphia Eagles officially announced as the Arizona Cardinals' new head coach. He'll be introduced to the media on Thursday, so we'll get to hear some of the things he said. But Seth, we get it. The search is over. It was countless numbers of articles and speculation, and while I don't mind the content of little nuggets coming here and there and be able to post an article or two, I'm ready for the next phase of the offseason, aren't you?
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see them kind of go forward from here with what is honestly what was wanted by the general manager from the start. Now that you kind of go back and look at everything, and you know, we'll talk about the Albert Breer article, I'm sure, and the different information that's come out in the meantime. But you know, it wasn't a name on our list when we started a month ago ish after the Kingsbury firing, because we were still waiting for the GM, and then the GM came in and gave his list, and apparently this was the name, or at least one of the top names on that list, and now, you know, he's the new Arizona Cardinals head coach. He was kind of busy, though, during the beginning of this, wasn't he?
He was, obviously. The thing is, but I find most interesting about this is how Gannon's name only got mentioned by not the national reporters, not the national sources. His name never dropped except for some whisperings under the lower-level reporting. I'm going to call it that. So No disrespect to guys like Benjamin Albright, but he was one who said, watch out for Gannon, guys like Jordan Schultz, who are in our circles a tier below the national guys who pretty much are always right because that's how they report things. But we heard whispers that Gannon was a guy they had targeted. The national guys never, ever said that. For some reason, that his candidacy never came out. All the other names came out. They interviewed almost a dozen other guys before him. But, you know, and this process was long. And there's a reason why. It took so long because Gannon ultimately was on the top or near the top of the list for Monty Austenfort, who wanted to interview him. So it did, unless they were absolutely blown out of the water by somebody, one of the other candidates. It feels like they were almost just biding their times. Like everyone else on their list was just due diligence, just in case. And instead they go with Gannon in the end. I have no problems with the hiring, but he wasn't necessarily my pick. But that was also because his name didn't come up until the very end, and we haven't had any shows. His name came up before – it didn't come up before, like, the Super Bowl, basically. And once it was Super Bowl, oh, the Cardinals want to talk to Jonathan Gannon now. So that's basically how that was. So the hiring, just the initial reaction. What is your take on the hiring as him as a candidate, as a potential head coach? What do you think of the move?
You know, I was I started digging into it on Thursday. A buddy of mine who never breaks, I mean, I don't care if anybody knows. Justin texted me on Thursday, and Justin asked, like, hey, have you heard anything new? And you and I had talked, and I was like, no, I mean, we're kind of guessing it'll be Kafka at this point. Like, you know, we're no idea. And Thursday night he said, I heard it's going to be Gannon. And I was like, oh, well, you know, they want to talk to him on Monday. So, you know, who knows? And he goes, I can't tell you who it was, but let me just say that the guy that told me this knows him. And I was like, oh, okay. So, like, this isn't like, oh, I'm hearing from a friend of a friend down, you know. And so, based on working backwards from things, I'm guessing that this has basically been where the Cardinals were going to go since January when Ben Albright started talking about it. Because I'm guessing the person is somebody that kind of helps Gannon make decisions, if I can put it without saying exactly who it is. So from that perspective, I had a couple days to kind of like research, wrap my head around it, think about it, kind of delve into where he's been, who he's been tied to, things of that nature. And from there, I think it gets exciting, man, because, you know, one of the things we talked about that was odd with like Lou Anarumo, that it gets taken as a knock. So I don't want people to think that like we're like, this is why we didn't want Lou Anarumo. No. The thing is like Gannon's been in the NFL since 2007. Anarumo didn't start in the NFL, even though he's been a coach for much, much longer. Anarumo didn't start in the NFL until 2012.
And then he was on the same team through 2017 on three different coaching staffs.
Right. And so his background is a lot less diverse in the NFL than Jonathan Gannon. Something you and I were talking about off the air. So many head coaches fail, not because they're not good coaches, because at the end of the day, it's just like NFL players. They're all good.
That's what I always say. Like, I don't think there are many difference-making head coaches. And their success is largely going to be determined by the situation in which they find themselves, the players, their health, and their staff. It's hard to replicate. So that, like, what the Eagles did this year, they have a whole bunch of free agents. They're losing their coordinators. I don't expect the Eagles to be anywhere near what they were next year, what they were this year, and that's not a knock on Nick Sirianni. It's just the situation.
It is just the situation. And so, like, you look at that, right, and you say, okay, what is Gannon's background? Like, that's the first thing you dive into, because the names or, like, the numbers – from their, because they're typically offensive or defensive coordinators. To me, it doesn't matter, because you look at, let's say, for instance, you know, Andy Reid's coaching tree hasn't really produced a ton of fruit, right? Like you said, they have runs, and then they move on, and you know, you've got a lot of good names. I mean, but the ones that have like really stood out, Sean McDermott, he was just a position coach. John Harbaugh, right? He was the special teams coordinator. Matt Nagy didn't work out, right? No. Doug Peterson worked out great for the Eagles for, you know, a couple of years before they fired him, right? Ron Rivera, he's been pretty okay. I mean, you know, Todd Bowles hasn't really worked out. Pat Shurmur hasn't worked out. Leslie Frazier hasn't worked out. Steve Spagnuolo, Brad Childress. Like, that's Andy Reid's coaching tree. And to an extent now you have, you know, branches off that, right? But it, what happens is you want to look at where they've been and who they've been under, because then the next thing is, who can they bring with them? That's like one of the biggest things, right?
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, you've got like a guy in Frank Reich who was part of, who was, you know, not on the Andy Reid coaching tree, right? On shockingly,
right.
But, you know,
he's almost a wizened hunt coaching right. tree guy.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so like you look at it and you've got you've got Reich, who had Sirianni, and Sirianni now, you know, has Gannon and Steichen and his guys. And so that's kind of how it all plays out, right? So that's how those guys all play out. And so when you look at Gannon and you dive into the names that he's worked with, you know, and some of them you're going to be like, well, that's not impressive, right? You know, like you go back to 2007, you're like, oh, that's, you know, he opened up with Bobby Petrino. That's not the best, right? But you look at that staff was crazy, man. You've got Hugh Jackson as the OC and Mike Zimmer as the defense coordinator. All right. So he was just a defensive quality control coach under Mike Zimmer. Okay. Then he went to the Rams, and he was a college scout and professional scout under Bill Devaney, that when he was their general manager there. Okay. So you look at it, you know, and it, obviously they start to make, connections there. So you had Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator. That's not bad. Pat Shurmur as an offensive coordinator while he was there, right? So again, so you look at it, you go, okay, these are names that are, you know, high level coaches in the NFL right now. And then he went to Tennessee, and a name to remember, you know, that Cardinals fans may or may not remember, but he was Tennessee's defensive quality control coach under Mike Munchak. Okay, so Mike Munchak, who the Cardinals remember, basically some people were saying that's who they wanted to hire as their as their head coach, was turned down by the team. He was in Tennessee with Munchak for 2 years. You know, in those times, they've had a number of different guys to go through. And then he went to Minnesota, and that's really where he started to cut his teeth. A sense of assistant defensive backs coach under Mike Zimmer. It's amazing how those all tie back in, right? Like, he started with Zimmer in Atlanta in 2007, 7 years later, now he's working on Zimmer's staff. And in that time you had, you know, Clint Kubiak, Kevin Stefanski, you know, on the staff. You had who ended up becoming the Pat Shurmur was there. Tony Sperano was there, you know, all while he was in Minnesota. And so guys that were well-respected have gone on to become big things in the NFL. That's, you know, he was there. Then he goes to Indy. We talked about it with the Reich staff, you know, and that staff is just peppered now, obviously, with either high level like OCs, DCs, or head coaches, you know. So you got Frank Reich, Nick Sirianni, Matt Eberflus, you know, names to know like Marcus Brady, Jason Michael, Alan Williams, like just guys that now are on his staff, right? That could potentially show up in Arizona. And so that's kind of how I looked at it as the Gannon versus Anarumo debate started to unfold, because part of it becomes not just what you know, it's who you know. And it's how you can delegate and change whatever it is, you know, in that way. So, and one of the things that came out was, obviously, and we'll talk about the names, but some of these names are coming out and then their backgrounds, and you're going, oh, okay, these are really like talented guys with with a lot of upside. But then you're hearing some like veteran names that may not be like OCs, DCs, that all of a sudden they're like, oh, they might be an O-line coach, or they might be a defense, like senior defensive assistant. And it's like, oh, so this guy could be potentially putting together a killer staff.
Let's talk about that. That was going to be what we finished the show with. Let's do that next. Coming up on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, of Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web, a look at the guys who could be joining Gannon's staff. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, of Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. What we want to do is to continue talking about Jonathan Gannon and his
potential. We're definitely going to make that for at least the first month. I'm just warning everybody. We're definitely going to make that mistake.
And that just means I'm old. Rich Gannon is the first Gannon I think of. And you know, what my memory of Rich Gannon is not the Raiders. It's the Minnesota Vikings with Sean Salisbury.
Yeah, well, it's all right. I had to look up if they were related. I was like, are they related? I'm curious. So Gannon, like we said, like when you get that information, that's the first thing you kind of put together, right? Is like, what does his network look like? Because in the NFL, that's the key thing. Like, who are they bringing with them, or can they bring with them?
And the first name that we heard is the offensive coordinator, which I will admit isn't a name that's going to move the dial for really anyone. It's Cleveland Browns quarterbacks coach Drew Petsing. Not much to know about him completely, except this. He's coached every position, pretty much. He's coached receivers. He's coached tight ends. He's been offensive coordinator, quality control. He even coached outside linebackers. So this dude has this. He's got a large experience with different positions.
Yeah, and you look at it, you know, he was with Kevin Stefanski in Minnesota, I believe. When he was there, Stefanski was the offense coordinator, and I think Petsing was the tight end coach, I want to say, at the time. I could be wrong. And now, obviously, he's there in Cleveland with Stefanski. So, you know, again, you just go right back to it, right? Who did Stefanski learn under, right? Like, what's Stefanski's background? He's been in Minnesota since 2006. So, like, he worked his way up. And that's kind of what it is with offensive guys or offensive like that. That's kind of what you want to see. Is you want to see them work their way up from being an assistant coach, working through all of the different position groups until they find their place. It's interesting because like Stefanski's first year on the Minnesota staff, you know who else was on that staff? Eric Bieniemy. You had guys like Chad O'Shea, who we've talked about before when we were going through like the Brian Flores stuff. So like that's the thing, is those guys all kind of come out of the same pod, right? And then that's who Petsing cut his teeth under, with Stefanski. So you look at what Stefanski does as an offensive guy. You know, the Browns, they made the playoffs his first year. Yeah
that was with Baker there.
Yeah, when Baker was actually not bad. And they won, and they beat the Steelers, right? And then they barely lost to the Chiefs the year the Chiefs won.
Yes, they thought they had the Chiefs beat, and yeah.
And so, I mean, and you look at it, you've got a guy that runs the West Coast offense. They're West Coast guys, and that's something that Jess and I have kind of wondered aloud about. If that was something that Kyler needed a little more, right? Like a guy that did a little more under center, play action, bootleg, waggle, those type of plays calling, you know, similar to what we see with a Kyle Shanahan, you know, just making it a little more well known. And so that offense, you look at it, does that work? Would that work? You know, would that be something that would fit, obviously, in Arizona? So that's the first thing. And you look at it. The next thing you look at with Petsing is like what he did this year. And I thought it was really, you know, one of the things I read about it was really interesting is that, you know, when he got promoted to the quarterback coach position, I believe the quarterback room was like Baker Mayfield and two other guys. And then by the time the season came around, it was three completely different people. and then on top of that,
and then throw just Deshaun Watson there, you know, the last third of the season.
Right. And so then he's not even really able to work. I mean, he's able to work with Deshaun Watson in a little way, but not really, because let's be honest, like they were trying to get Jacoby Brissett ready because Jacoby was going to be the starter. Like there wasn't any question. And you look at Jacoby's numbers and you look at everything that he did. And I think you have to be like, okay, this isn't, you know, this is a guy that got quite a bit out of Jacoby Brissett in a season where, I mean, they barely had an off season together. You know, Brissett was just under 64% completion percentage, 2,600 yards, 12 touchdowns, only six interceptions, you know, an 89 QB rating. It's not a bad season. I mean, it really is not. And you look at it and, you know, he's a guy that put together those numbers coming in late, kind of being pieced together. And so that's how you have to judge a guy like Petsing. You know, how would you feel about a guy that did really well, you know, did average or slightly above average in a really difficult situation? I think that's a positive coming out of it. And knowing what kind of coach he is and where he'd be coming from in terms of usage, it does, for me, it does make sense, because I feel like you've got a young, innovative guy who can kind of command the room and be somebody that challenges Kyler Murray.
And I like that. I like that. The name doesn't, like, he's not going to, because he hasn't been a coordinator yet. But
now they all got to start somewhere.
It's true. It's true. And that's kind of what you want to do. The notion of having kind of the West Coast, because it's been, the Cardinals have not had a West Coast offense base in a long time. Because you go back to the offenses that the Cardinals ran under Wisenhunt and Arians, those were Coryell based.
Yeah, down the field.
Down the field type things.
Throw the ball deep. Yeah.
I don't even know what you'd call Mike McCoy's offense.
Yeah, that's a fair question.
I don't know but I just kind of ignore that, because that was like the historically worst offense ever. And then we go to an air raid based. And if there's one thing, like we know that the West Coast offense philosophies are successful in the NFL. We know that those will do well. There's been, I mean, that it, you know, back to the days of Bill Walsh, Andy Reid, his offense is at its core West Coast based. Aaron Rodgers loved the West Coast offense. And so these are all different things that have had large success in the NFL. And so in the right scheme, in the right personnel, you know that it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be schematically effed, like Kyler once said about the one play, which was not about the offense. It was just about the particular look that the Chargers gave them. Just need to make sure that he was not knocking Cliff's offense at the time.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, Mike actually ran similar to what Ken ran, which was the Earhart Perkins, right? And so we haven't seen the West Coast since good old Denny Green.
Denny Green, right.
2006. So yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's a proven successful offense, just like the Eric Coryell and the Earhart Perkins and all of the other ones. But the reality became that I don't know if you were getting, and this is something we've talked about, if you were getting the most out of your quarterback's ability in what the offensive design was by Cliff Kingsbury. And that's not a shot at Kingsbury. I think.
And especially was really good for year one and year two.
Right. And so, and then it needed to develop. And so that's what the question becomes. You know, so that's, you know, that's exciting to me. And if it's not him, you know, who's it going to be? Well, that's a question we'll find out all together.
Yes. What are some of the other names that you have run across in terms of possibilities for the staff?
So one name that's been brought up and that we mentioned a little earlier, Mike Munchak, potentially offensive line coach. I don't know what he's doing right now, if I'm being completely honest. But, you know, Munchak and had Gannon on his staff. This was his first year off in a while.
Yeah, so he was coaching the Broncos offensive line. He was off in 2022. My guess is probably he was being paid to not coach. He was probably let go with a year left on his contract when they hired Hackett.
Yes, and so you've got, you know, that I think that, I mean, that's a guy that, like we said, that the Cardinals have targeted for a long time. Well-respected guy, good coach. I think he would, you know, again, make a lot of sense. From there, I want to make sure I get them right. Nick Rallis, the Philadelphia linebackers coach, and I was going to mention this earlier. The one question I have, and it's not about Rallis in general, and they are on year two of Sirianni, if I'm correct, right?
Yes.
Usually, and you and I have talked about this, typically those contracts are 2 years.
Correct.
So we might be catching them at a time where they can bring in a Nick Rallis to be their defensive coordinator.
And you know, in addition to having the connection with Gannon already from this last season, is that before he was there, he was on Mike Zimmer's defensive staff after Gannon went to Indy.
Correct. Yeah. So he was a quality control coach at Wake Forest before being the defensive quality control coach at Minnesota, and then assistant linebackers coaches last year in Minnesota. And then,
and those, you know, linebackers, it, like if you want to look at a position coach, TG Edwards, Kaiser White, Hassan Reddick, all three of them had absolutely fantastic seasons for the Eagles this last season.
Right, and they're physical, they're downhill guys, you know, all of that stuff. So it's one of those situations where you have to like what you see from a guy like that. He's young, man. He's only 29. Like he'll be
he's
30.
Younger than Seth.
Yeah, he'll be 30 this year, so he's a young guy.
Which Zimmer was it? It's the son of Mike Zimmer is also a name that I heard as part of the staff.
Yeah, Zimmer could be coming. You know,
but then even the old Zimmer, now currently unemployed,
right?
He would be a very, very intriguing guy to add to the staff. You know, whether he is a DC or a senior assistant or like Bruce Arians had Tom Moore as assistant head coach offense, he could be an assistant head coach defense or senior defensive assistant, which I felt like Vance Joseph's presence on the, like his contract status was a what if. I'm guessing with Gannon, he probably will be released from his deal. I would bet, but maybe not.
Yeah, and so you look at it. So he was linebackers coach for 5 seasons, and then co-defense coordinator and linebackers coach. So he was actually, I think, Gannon's boss technically, if I remember correctly. No, no, because Gannon was the assistant defensive backs coach. Okay, that's right, that's right. So that's Adam Zimmer, for those wondering. He's another young guy. He'll be 39 this year, so I mean, that's the thing is you've got a lot of guys with a lot of experience.
It's not Adam Zimmer.
Oh, he's the one that passed away, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. So then it's got to be...
I should have looked that up before, Mike Zimmer's son.
No, no, that's the only one he had. Okay, all right, so that's why. So it must be Mike then they're talking about.
Oh, maybe. Huh. I thought it was... That's weird.
Yeah, so he's got two daughters and a son. Okay, I see that now. Update your wording. It says has. I got confused. Sorry. But so yeah, so I mean, you've got a guy, but Zimmer's been around, and he was just an analyst for Jackson State this year, and Deion Sanders.
Maybe it was Mike Zimmer. I thought that I had read somewhere that it would be the son. No, having Mike Zimmer on staff would be absolutely be a knockout.
Especially if you go young, right? If you're saying like your head coach is obviously Jonathan Gannon, and your OC's 35-year-old Petzig, Drew Petzig, and then your defense coordinator's 30-year-old Rallis. What was his first name? Nick Rallis. I want to say Adam because I believe Mike is his brother, who's a professional wrestler. So at least we'll know there'll be entertainment in the Cardinals stuff too, right? But yeah, I mean, and so that's the thing. You bring in a guy like Zim, who's quite a bit older than all those guys, obviously, and can be kind of the stage. Because, I mean, at this stage of Zim's career, he's going to be 67 when the season starts. He's won a Super Bowl. You know, he's been...
He can be like the big time, like a Wade Phillips type
right,
of role.
The Wade Phillips, you said it, the Tom Moore, those guys that have, you know, they've made their money. But and I mean this in the most polite way possible. They don't have anything else going on in their life, right? So
they've done is coach their entire lives. And then they got their kids into coaching and they're, you know... That's what they know. But yeah, if Zimmer ends up being part of this, I don't know if you could have a better that staff would be, because you've got that's even better than having Vance Joseph on your staff, like for Cliff Kingsbury or whoever that was, because Mike Zimmer, he's been a successful head coach for a very long time. His defenses have always been they've never, like, you look at the defense that they run, they're always physical, they're always tough. That would be an absolute home run coordinator addition, and a guy who, it's one of those fun things where the mentee becomes the leader. The guy who was under now is the boss, as we like to see. Some, you know, Mike Zimmer, who coached the Minnesota Vikings. Gannon was on that staff, and now Gannon's the head coach, and he gets to bring in Zimmer. And for a lot of these older coaches, they really, really like that.
Yeah, and like I said, what they enjoy doing and what people don't get is, like, I mean, Zimmer was a coach for 8 seasons. I don't think people realize how long that is. Remember, the Arizona Cardinals have never had a coach last over
never.
6 seasons.
Yeah, literally never.
And by Arizona Cardinals, we just mean the Cardinals organization.
Over 100 years of organization, and never anyone past 6 years.
You know, and he had a 72-56-1 coaching record. Like I said, he was a assistant coach, obviously, but you know, won a Super Bowl as an assistant coach. Like, this is a guy that has done everything you can do and been successful doing it. Like, so coming in, people will be like, oh, does he really want to take it? Yeah, it's kind of nice every once in a while just to sit back, kick up your feet, and like,
and just
be the old guy.
In,
right. Old guy in the room that helps people, right? That it's like, yeah, let me help you with that. So I think those, if you can, I've said this all along. If you end up with 3 of those guys, even if you don't get all 4, it's a home run, because, again, Munchak and Zimmer are the older guys that would give what's the word, a little cachet,
yeah.
You know, to the hiring of Gannon. But I'm telling you, Petzing and Rallis are going to be OCs and DCs. So I know it's nerve wracking for a lot of fans to be like, oh no, they're going to do it here. But it's, trust me, it would be actually a good thing to be a little more young and innovative on things than what we've seen.
Coming on next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's run down some of the numbers. The Cardinals, when they announced the head coaching job, they gave us a press release that gives us the impressive work of Gannon's work as a coach. That's coming on next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web, talking about Jonathan Gannon, new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Let's look at some of the numbers, okay? As a defensive coordinator for two seasons, the Eagles were a top 10 unit twice. They were second in total defense last season, 10th in total defense in 2021. They were number one in pass defense and number eight in scoring defense this last season. Now, granted, we saw the Chiefs beat them, and they gave up 24 points in the second half. That's fine. That's fine. They had 70 sacks in the regular season, which was 15 more sacks than anybody. Only the 1989 Minnesota Vikings had more sacks with 71 in that year. And they had the second most sacks, if you included the postseason, the second most sacks in NFL history. And they had 27 takeaways. This is a year between the last two seasons, they led the NFL with 99 sacks. They were third in total defense, third in pass defense, sixth in tackles for loss, fourth in total return touchdowns, seven interceptions, and tied for 10th in interceptions. If you look at, they had four guys have double digit sacks. The Cardinals had J.J. Watt. They had their linebackers, like their trio of linebackers. T.J. Edwards had 159 tackles. Kaiser White had 110 tackles. Hassan Reddick had 16 sacks, second in the NFL. They were great at all three levels. Granted, their personnel was fantastic, but you also look at his time as a secondary over the defensive backs at the Colts. In the three seasons in Indy, he was sixth in interceptions, ninth in scoring defense, and 10th in total defense and red zone defense. In 2020, they had 15 interceptions. They were a top 10 unit in takeaways, interceptions, yards allowed per game, and points allowed per game. We see that, granted, these are highlights, clearly. They're highlights, clear. But look at the guys that he's coached. Darius Slay. This last couple of seasons for the Philly, when he was with Minnesota, you had Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith. Those are guys who these are great defensive backs. Xavier Rhodes, he was for a good while was a very, very good cornerback in the NFL. And so you look at some of these numbers across the board. That doesn't guarantee head coaching success. But when you look at the way, and in fairness, we could have read the same type of thing when Steve Wilks was hired as head coach and looked at some of those numbers. But what we've seen from Gannon's position, his players at his position, the defensive units, it's not only just better than average, they've been very good at every level.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, right? Like, this is a group that he gets a lot out of his guys. He puts them in a position to be successful, which is so difficult for so many teams to deal with, right? And that's one of the situations where you've got a guy that's had experience, that has grown, and gotten better. And this is a team that, or these are guys and these are teams that have really thrived under him. And I know a lot of people want to just bring up the Super Bowl and be like, well, see, can't do it. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's hard to adjust when your scheme is dependent on that success that they were having, rushing the passer. And then you get, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but you get absolutely nothing. I mean, they got absolutely nothing from their pass rush in the Super Bowl. And when your defense is predicated on that, it makes it really difficult to have success. And so it shouldn't surprise anybody that their defense looked worse or struggled, because that's the thing, is if you're not able to create pressure, then you're not going to have that same success. And one of the things he's done for, you know, ever is put his players in a position to be successful. And honestly, that's all you can ask for from a lot of guys. And it's one of the questions, critiques we've had about Vance Joseph, right, as the defensive guy, is that, is he utilizing his best players in the proper way? And for Gannon, we have seen that he tends to get the most out of those guys because of his schemes and philosophies.
And with that, we will end this edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk on the web. I believe we will have a weekend show with an interview with a former Cardinals player, is the hope, if everything has got it scheduled. Hopefully it doesn't fall through. But over the next couple of weeks, we've got a former Cardinals player and a current Cardinals player lined up to appear on the podcast. We will definitely have much. We can actually start delving into the off-season things and the roster, who stays, who goes, what they use, and then free agency and the draft. So all of that is coming up over the next several weeks. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.